The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Doris Hyde for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Vision News. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you A Journey Through History meets September 1st, that's tonight. The Novel Ideas meets September 18th. Mystery Books meets September 27th. To Mobility and Beyond is forming teams to address transportation and outdoor access issues. ACB chapter in New York is offering the 50th convention, October 16th to 17th, online. My uncle has sent a couple of emails that I might have time to read later. Forbes.com has an article by Eric Bachman called Perceived as Disabled, ADA Employment Lawsuits Rising in COVID. NPR.org has an article, Better Way to Dub Audio. And if there's time left, I will read the list of books that Bonnie Blows has written. A Journey Through History meets on September 1st, 2020. Book to be discussed, A Woman of No Importance, The Untold Story of the American Spy Who Helped Win World War II, DB95178. NLS Annotation, A Woman of No Importance, The Untold Story of the American Spy Who Helped Win World War II, by Pernell Sonia. Reading time, 13 hours, 56 minutes. Read by Juliet Stevenson, a production of the National Library Service for the Blind and Physically Handicapped, Library of Congress. Biography, bestsellers, world history and affairs. An account of the efforts of Virginia Hall, a Baltimore socialite and American spy who established spy networks throughout World War II France, ultimately escaping through the Pyrenees into Spain after her cover was blown. Written by the author of Clementine, The Life of Mrs. Winston Churchill, DB88505, unrated commercial audiobook, bestseller 2019. Join us on September 1st at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Join from PC, Mac, Linux, iOS, or Android at https://zoom.us/j/17780997772. That's 17780977 2. iPhone telephone numbers 1408-638-0986 or 1646-876-9923. The meeting ID is 17780977 2. International numbers available at https://zoom.us/u/yCQ4. DR capital N. Special note, if you wish to subscribe to our one-way announce list, please write to aw-announcements+subscribe@groups.io. You will receive a confirmation email. Just reply to it without writing anything. If you wish to subscribe to the Tech Talk discussion list, write to tek-talk-discussion+subscribe@groups.io. You will again receive a confirmation email and just reply to it without writing anything. Accessible World contacts Robert Acosta, Chair Emeritus, www.accessibleworld.org and www.radiooutofthepast.org. Telephone 818-998-0044. Email boacosta, A-C-O-S-T-A, 818@gmail.com. Novel Ideas meets September 18th at 8 p.m. Eastern to discuss This Tender Land, DB96864, by William Kent Krueger, K-R-U-E-G-E-R. Novel Ideas will be discussing the book This Tender Land by William Kent Krueger. Below is the synopsis from Bookshare. For fans of Before We Were Yours and Where the Crawdads Sing, a magnificent novel about four orphans on a life-changing odyssey during the Great Depression, from the New York Times best-selling author of Ordinary Grace. In 1932, Minnesota's The Lincoln School is a pitiless place where hundreds of Native American children, forcibly separated from their parents, are sent to be educated. It is also home to an orphan named Odie O'Banion, a lively boy whose exploits earn him the superintendent's wrath. Forced to flee, he and his brother Albert their best friend Mose, and a broken-hearted little girl named Emmy steal away in a canoe heading for the mighty Mississippi and a place to call their own. Over the course of one unforgettable summer, these four orphans will journey into the unknown and cross paths with others who are adrift. From struggling farmers and traveling faith healers to displaced families and lost souls of all kinds. Join us in this Zoom meeting to discuss this great book. Hosted, Randy Shelton. Email rshelton820@gmail.com. Co-host, Ruth Ann Acosta. Email ruth1244@gmail.com. Date, Friday, September 18, 2020. Time, 5 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Mountain, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern, and elsewhere in the world, Saturday, midnight, Greenwich Mean Time. We hope you'll join us to discuss this great book. About 10 minutes before the program, dial the Zoom number 0execute the Zoom meeting link found on your Zoom invitation. Topic, novel ideas, meets third Friday of each month at 8 p.m. Eastern. Joy from PC, Mac, Linux, iOS, or Android at https://zoom.us/j/58414962. iPhone telephone numbers 1408-638-09861 or 1646-876-99231. The meeting ID is 58414962. International numbers available at https://zoom.us/u/capital S X 9 little o capital A 6 C capital R. The Accessible World, a division of Helping Hands for the Blind, a 501c3 not-for-profit organization, seeks to educate the general public, the disabled community, and the professionals who serve them by providing highly relevant information about new products, services, and training opportunities designed specifically to eliminate geographic and access barriers that adversely affect them. Signed, Randy Shelton. On Sunday, September 27th, 2020, at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, the Mysteries Discussion Group will be discussing The Old Buzzard Had It Coming by Donis Casey. You can find it on BARD by looking for DBC07284. You can find it on Bookshare by accessing the link below, https://www.bookshare.org/browse/book/2373229. All are welcome. Please use the information below to log in to the meeting. We hope to see all of you then. Date, Sunday, September 27, 2020. Time, 5 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Central, 3 p.m. Mountain, 2 p.m. Pacific, and elsewhere in the world, Sunday, 2100 hours Greenwich Mean Time. All times are daylight saving time. About 10 minutes before the program, dial the Zoom numbers found on your Zoom invitation. Ann Parsons, facilitator, is inviting you to a scheduled Zoom meeting. Topic, the Mystery Book Discussion Group. Join from PC, Mac, Linux, iOS, or Android at https://zoom.us/j/7104-634-624. iPhone telephone numbers 1-408-638-0986 or 1-646-876-9923. Meeting ID is 7104-634-624. International numbers available at https://zoom.us/u/CIDZ(X)OD7. If you execute the above link from a computer with installed Zoom client software, the software should automatically launch and take you to the meeting. If you execute the above link from a smart device containing the Zoom Cloud Meetings app, the app should automatically launch and take you to the meeting. If you prefer to use your iPhone as a regular phone without the app to call into the meeting, you can double tap on one of the above two numbers to initiate the call. If you prefer calling on a regular telephone, use one of the above numbers. AccessibleWorld.org, RadioOutOfThePast.org, contacts, Robert Acosta, Chair Emeritus, I've read that information before, and Alan Lemley, Co-Chair, AccessibleWorld.org, phone 601-919-6907, email walemly@gmail.com, and Larry Gassman, Accessible World Co-Chair, AccessibleWorld.org, phone 714-449-1958. Email Larry, two R's, Gasman, two S's, at roadrunner.com. Ron Brooks writes, as many of you may recall, the Environmental Access and Transportation Committees held a four-day mini-workshop inside the 2020 ACB Conference and Convention called To Mobility and Beyond, where we explored a number of related transportation and environmental access issues and their impact on our mobility as blind and visually impaired travelers and pedestrians. One of the key outcomes was a need and desire for more regular communication between and among transportation and environmental access leaders within the community and the advocates and leaders across the country whose help and support is and will continue to be essential for driving transportation and pedestrian access forward. The leaders and membership of the two committees agreed, and we are launching a new monthly ACB community call we've named To Mobility and Beyond to serve these purposes. Put simply, we want to engage with ACB members and friends everywhere so we can inform, educate, and learn from each other about the critical and challenging issues of transportation and pedestrian environmental access. Our first To Mobility and Beyond call was Wednesday, August 26th, and promised to be a barn burner. The format may shift around as we refine our approach, but we're planning a 90-minute call that will begin with a speaker or speakers who will present and or discuss a transit or environmental access topic of relevance for ACB members and other people within the blind and visually impaired communities. We will make time for questions relating to the presentation, and then after that we'll round out each call with time for more general comments, concerns, and questions about transportation and environmental access issues. Our goal is maximum participation, so please know that your involvement will be critical and welcome. Last week, the Environmental Access Committee member and leader within our New York affiliate, Karen Gourgey, G-O-U-R-G-E-Y, and I were honored to host the call as we welcome two national leaders in the oversight of the transit industry in the space of ADA compliance, Ms. Dawn Sweet and Mr. John Day, both from the Office of Civil Rights within the Federal Transit Administration in Washington, D.C. These are the folks who regulate the public transit industry and the more than 600 public transit agencies across the U.S., so they know their stuff and can speak very directly to all things pertaining to ADA compliance. Their bios follow. Please consider joining the conversation in the future using the conference information at the end of the note. Dawn Sweet. Dawn Sweet joined the Federal Transit Administration in 2009 and serves as the Director of Headquarters Operations for the Office of Civil Rights in Washington, D.C. The office works to ensure that FTA recipients comply with the Americans with Disabilities Act, Title VI of the Civil Rights Act, and the Disadvantaged Business Enterprise Program, through a variety of oversight activities such as compliance reviews and complaint investigations, and by providing training and technical assistance. In 2015, prior to becoming director, she was the project manager overseeing the development of FTA's ADA Circular 4710.1, the agency's primary ADA guidance. Since March 2020, Dawn has been co-leading the office's response to COVID-19. John Day. John Day serves as the program manager for policy and technical assistance for the Federal Transit Administration's Office of Civil Rights. A former transit bus driver, John joined the FTA, then UMTA, in 1989, and spent the next decade working on new transit systems and extensions. He moved to the Office of Civil Rights in November 2001, where he is now responsible for managing compliance reviews, policy development, and technical assistance across all civil rights areas. He has been involved in every DOT ADA rulemaking activity since the statute was enacted in 1990 and has served as the Department of Transportation's liaison to the U.S. Access Board since 2009. Members of the ACB Environmental Access and Transportation Committees and special guest speakers will present timely information about transit, paratransit, and navigating life as pedestrians who are blind and visually impaired. Come to each meeting ready to learn, to share your own experiences, and to ask your transportation and environmental access questions. In August, we hosted Dawn Sweet and John Day. The rest of the information in this email is about the meeting that happened last week, but I'm sure there will be an invitation for September coming soon. Janet Dickelman writes, Independent Science has held sessions at previous ACB conventions. See their message below, especially pertinent for access technology developers, science educators, rehabilitation professionals, and educational researchers, but anyone is welcome to attend. Save the date. Independence Science is announcing the 11th Annual Inclusion in Science, Learning a New Direction, Island. Conference on Disability is just around the corner. It will be held virtually on Saturday, September 12, 2020, from 9 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Registration is free by September 1st. Go to www.islandconference.org to register and see the schedule of presentations. A Zoom link will be provided to all registered conference participants on Friday, September 11, 2020. Since we will be using the Zoom platform, questions will be handled by placing comments in the chat or by using the raise hand command, Alt-Y, to ask questions. The moderator will unmute you when you are called upon to ask your question. Note, most presentations will be recorded, so by raising your hand, you are consenting to be recorded. If you would prefer to use the chat, the moderator will address these questions as time permits. The Island Conference serves as a forum for access technology developers, science educators, rehabilitation professionals, and educational researchers to network and share their experiences with how they have promoted the inclusion of persons with disabilities into science, technology, engineering, and mathematics, STEM, fields of study. Come and learn what is being done to promote inclusion in the STEM classroom for students with disabilities. If you have any questions, please feel free to email the conference organizers at island@princeton.edu. The 11th Annual Island Conference is sponsored in part by Princeton University's Office of Technology, Princeton Center for Complex Materials, and Independence Science. From Forbes.com, ADA Perceived as Disabled Employment Lawsuits in the Age of COVID-19, by Eric Bachman. It's generally recognized that the Americans with Disabilities Act, ADA, protects individuals with disabilities from employment discrimination, but less well known is that the ADA also protects employees who are not disabled but are perceived as being so by their employer. ADA definition of disability. The Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, EEOC, enforces the ADA, and its guidance clarifies that to be protected from discrimination, a person must be qualified for the job and have a disability as defined by the law. The EEOC notes that a disability can be established in one of three ways. A person has a disability if they have a physical or mental condition that substantially limits a major life activity, such as walking, talking, seeing, hearing, or learning, or operation of a major bodily function. A person has a disability if they have a history of a disability, such as cancer, that is in remission. A person has a disability if they are subject to an adverse employment action and is believed to have a physical or mental impairment that is not transitory, lasting or expected to last 6 months or less, and minor, even if he or she does not have such an impairment. The third option is the focus here, and under the ADA Amendments Act of 2008, ADAAA, individuals who have an action taken against them because they are regarded as having a physical or mental impairment have a claim for discrimination. This is true regardless of whether the impairment limits or is perceived to limit a major life activity. Sections 42 U.S.C. 12102, subsection 3, subsection A. As a result, an employee may be perceived as disabled even if the alleged impairment does not limit any life activity, which is a key distinction from a disability discrimination claim involving an actual disability. If, however, the perceived impairment lasts or is regarded as lasting 6 months or less, then this does not apply. 42 U.S.C. 12102, subsection 3, subsection B. Examples of regarded as disabled lawsuits. In Robinson versus First State Community Action Agency, case number 17-3141, Third Circuit Court, April 1st, 2019, a manager told the employee that they either did not know what they were doing work-wise or they had dyslexia. The employee then requested certain accommodations for dyslexia, and soon after, the employer fired them. The jury found that the employer regarded the employee as disabled and awarded damages, which the appellate court affirmed. Eshelman v. Patrick Industries, Incorporated, case number 19-1403, Third Circuit Court, May 29, 2020, involved an employee who alleged the employer regarded them as disabled because they took 2 months of leave for a lung biopsy procedure and 2 vacation days for an upper respiratory infection. The trial court found that the regarded as disabled claim must fail because the impairment lasted less than 6 months and thus was transitory and minor. See Section 42 U.S. Code 12102, subsection 3, paragraph B. The appellate court, however, reversed because the lower court had not analyzed whether the impairment was both transitory and minor. Thus, even if brief, the impairment may still be covered if it is relatively serious. Equal Employment Opportunity Commission versus STME LLC, case numbers 18-11121 and 18-12277, 11th Circuit Court, September 12, 2019, dealt with an employee who was fired because her employer thought she may contract Ebola during a trip abroad. The 11th Circuit held that the employee was not regarded as having a disability. According to the appellate court, while the ADA prohibits discrimination because of a current or past perceived disability, this does not extend to a potential future disability that a healthy person may experience at a later time. COVID-19 and perceived as disabled claims. The interplay between COVID-19 health conditions and ADA perceived as disability discrimination claims is going to be a hot topic. The EEOC has issued guidance related to this, including the question of whether an employer may withdraw a job offer because, for example, the employee is 65 years old or pregnant, both of which put them at higher risk for contracting COVID-19. The EEOC states that no, the fact that the CDC has identified those who are 65 or older or pregnant women as being at greater risk does not justify unilaterally postponing the start date or withdrawing a job offer. However, an employer may choose to allow telework or to discuss with these individuals if they would like to postpone the start date. The result in EEOC versus STME LLC, in which the court said ADA discrimination claims do not extend to a potential future disability that a healthy person may experience later, suggests that there will be competing views on how to treat these claims in the courts and that much ink will be spilled on this topic going forward. From NPR.org by Jason Strother, there's a better way to dub movie audio for visually impaired fans. Most people never have to explain why they enjoy going to the movies, but Denise Decker sometimes needs to do that. The retired federal worker, who lives in Washington, D.C., says some sighted people don't understand how someone who is blind can appreciate watching film. Those of us who are vision impaired enjoy going to the movies probably as much as anyone else does, and we probably go as often as some sighted people do, she says. Decker says she enjoys all types of movies as long as it's a good story, but foreign language films that are only subtitled are not an option, and dubbing wouldn't solve the problem. Dubbing just tells us the dialogue, she explains. It doesn't tell us the surrounding actions and the other things that are taking place. Maybe what the individuals are wearing, the expressions on their face, are they moving, what else is happening? The solution, Decker says, is audio description, an embedded voice that translates visual imagery and action on the screen into spoken word. These bits of narration play during pauses in a movie's dialogue. Typically, one voice actor performs the description. But while almost all of Hollywood films provide this inclusive feature, most non-English language movies produced overseas and distributed in the United States do not. And that prevents millions of blind and visually impaired Americans from fully appreciating many foreign pictures. Around 3.4 million Americans over the age of 40 are blind or have low vision, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. The American Foundation for the Blind says 26.9 million people have experienced difficulty seeing, even with correction, or are blind and legally blind. Joel Snyder, who directs the American Council of the Blind's Audio Description Project, suspects that this accessibility service is not included in many American releases because local distributors don't think subtitled films are big draws at the box office. He says adding audio descriptions to a film that is not originally in English is somewhat more complicated, but not prohibitive, to produce. It would require at least two narrators, one providing the visual explanation and another that speaks the subtitles, he explains. Snyder says compared to closed captioning, audio description is still not as well known by the general public, even though it's been available in live theater and on some American movies' VHS or DVD releases for decades. And since 2017, the Americans with Disabilities Act has required movie theaters to provide audio description services when available. So, now in many cinemas, a visually impaired customer can request a headset and transmitter box that plays the descriptive track in sync with the film. Streaming services also provide audio description for many of the titles on their platforms. But Rebecca Williford, managing attorney at Disability Rights Advocates in Berkeley, California, says it took lawsuits to make these companies offer this feature. One with Netflix and one with Hulu, where we were able to get increased audio description content on those streaming services, Williford says. And we were able to work out a settlement with AMC to make sure they would do things like do more frequent checks of their equipment, so things like that wouldn't ruin people's evening at the movies. Williford did not want to weigh in on whether the ADA, which was signed into law 30 years ago, requires the American distributors of foreign films to include audio description for U.S. releases. The unavailability of this feature for non-English language films gained some attention during this year's Oscars, when the South Korean dark comedy Parasite became the first subtitled movie to win Best Picture. It was this category's only nominee that didn't include audio description. Bong Joon-ho, Parasite's director, has remarked that Americans must overcome the one-inch-tall barrier of subtitles so they can be introduced to so many more amazing films. He was perhaps unaware that his U.S. distributor, Neon, did not include audio description for the movie's theatrical or home release. Tom Quinn, Neon's co-founder, declined NPR's request for comment. For now, the only way for America's blind and visually impaired to overcome this film's accessibility barrier is to get a hold of Parasite's UK DVD release. The world's only English-language descriptive track for Parasite was written and performed by Matthew Jarman of Bad Princess Productions. English language is no indication of quality in film, and if it's about accessibility, why should you only be able to access films of one culture, says Jarman, who, with a colleague, recorded the audio description at his home studio in London. Americans do make a lot of films, the UK as well, but everybody is making films, so we should be able to enjoy them all. You can read the rest of this article on NPR.org, but I've run out of time for today's episode of Revision News. I hope you enjoyed it. Be sure to listen next week. I'm Doris Hyde, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Vision News is available as a podcast on our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have comments or questions, call 919-832-5138. That's 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.